Fritz rocks. 91.3 FM WLVR Bethlehem. That's Barkley James Harvest. And taking some time on before that, some early, a little early to play Carmine music, but it was right in front of me, so we threw that on. Some Blue Murder and Jelly Roll. Heard from the Blue Oyster Cult today from Tyranny and Mutation. We gave you the seven screaming Dizbusters, Hot Rails to Hell, and OD'd on Life Itself. Black Oak, Arkansas, from Raunch and Roll, live, Mutants of the Monster. And I believe, yes, we did give you some Credence today with Born on the Bayou. And kick things off with brand new music from Chris Brzezinski, also known as The Breeze, with his new band, Shepherd the Breeze. We played Whiskey Breath. 349 at your number one preset, 91.3 FM, WLVR Bethlehem. Please remember to buckle up. It is the law in Pennsylvania, so click it or tick it. There's your public service announcement by your friends here at LVR. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Fritz Rock Show. I got something special. I got a lot of things happening today. For some reason, I don't know why, but everybody's dropping in here today, and I've got some special guests coming up at 5 o'clock. It is Thursday. Where in the world is Carmine? Legendary rock drummer Carmine Appice will be joining us live on the air today. We got the prize box coming your way, too, so lots to get to. But get this. I was going to go downstairs to print out a document, and I'm walking down the steps, and somebody says, "Hey, AJ." And I turn around, and I looked, and I recognized the guy. I hadn't seen him since I was probably 15 or 16 years old. And he goes, "It's Andy Brown." So, ladies and gentlemen, you definitely remember WSAN, the Music Box. Well, Andy Brown, Lehigh University graduate, was that your first gig in radio, Andy?
It was.
It was the very first one, right? How did you even know to go to the coolest AM radio station in town in the Lehigh Valley at that time?
Well, WLVR back then was not yet on the air. They were carrier current, and so the only way you could get them was with a lot of noise and hum and buzz. And,
yeah.
They were doing a great job. I know Jim Cameron's been here and spoken with you. And
Jim's been on the air a couple times.
Yeah,
you bring him on the air.
They were doing a great job, but the sound was just horrible, you know. And we all had nice turntables and nice speakers, and we wanted a radio station that sounded better. But anyway, make a long story short, so I'm fiddling with the dial on my radio and, you know, trying to, can't listen to this LVR. It's just it's great music in there, but I can't stand the noise. And I went up to the other end of the dial just to see what was going on, and I heard WSAN and Bob Ross. I mean, we were always up late in the middle of, you know, 1-2 in the morning trying to get our homework done. And
get your homework done. Yeah, right. This is Lehigh. Come on, we know better, Andy.
So
you found Bob Ross.
Yeah, yes, that's so. And eventually one night we got brave enough, let's go out and meet this guy, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the fellas knew where the station was, because at the time I didn't, you know.
Okay.
And we went out there, and that's how it all got started, you know.
Wow. How many years were you there?
I was there for almost 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you were part of a great crew. Can you name some of the jocks that you worked with at SAN back in those days?
Oh, yeah. Well, besides Bob Ross, of course, it was Dave Fox.
Yeah, good friend. He was such a great guy, Dave Fox.
And Rick Harvey.
Rick Harvey, yeah. Harvey's Underground.
Yeah, yeah. And Jerry Dean.
Jerry Dean, yeah, yeah.
And who else did we have? We had a guy named Jonathan who I can't remember. He just went by Jonathan.
Yes, I remember that. It was just Jonathan. Yeah.
Yeah, I think his real name was Chuck, but I don't know, you know, any more than that. And, Joe McLean, a big name in Lehigh Valley radio, eventually ended up at SAN. Not in the beginning, but by the time I left, he had been there.
Yeah.
Lynn Kratz, who went on to MMR down in Philly.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Cindy Drew,
yes, I remember Cindy Drew too.
She was out of Centenary College. I trained her on the SAN board. That was a lot of fun.
The old knob board, right?
Yeah.
what kind of stuff were you playing when you were on the air in 1973?
Well, you know, you played some of that Blue Oyster Cult. That was new back then.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, some of the people that I played are still out there doing their thing, you know. Carmine's coming in. I mean, he's at least as old as I am.
Yeah, Carmine's up there. Yeah. Well, he doesn't quite get here physically. He calls in, but he's been calling here faithfully for 13 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he loves LVR. He loves the listening audience here at LVR, and he's been a great friend and supporter of LVR all these years, you know.
You know, and those Roxy concerts, they were amazing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Rick Harvey walked in one day, and out of his jacket, he pulled a 45. And we didn't play many singles unless they were like a rare, you know, rare track that wasn't on an album. But he pulled out a single, and he goes, "We've got a 24-hour jump on this."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the other stations playing rock and roll are going to get this tomorrow. So he says, "You need to play it." And it was One of These Nights by the Eagles.
Get out of town, man.
I felt so, like, elated,
yeah,
you know, to
sure.
think that I was breaking a song by a group that at the time certainly wasn't the super group they became.
No,
But they were catching on. And to be able to roll out something new from a group that had some name recognition was very, very cool.
Yeah.
And one of the things that back then... that happened a lot was that the record companies would send us albums in advance because they wanted us to get our audience feedback.
Sure, sure.
Well, what songs do they like? And then we would report back to the record company.
Yeah.
And then they would release a single.
Ah,
and then,
sure.
And then once the top 40 stations were playing that, we moved on to a deeper cut.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were testing the market, really. That's what you guys were doing back
in those
days.
Well, this is a great market. They know good music, and I think part of that reason is because they've had it delivered to them by some of the stations in the Valley that did a good job.
Yeah,
you know?
WSAN, I mean, is still remembered. The Music Box, the Roxy Concert series, those are remembered quite fondly by the listeners here at LVR. And I was so enamored, and I was so fortunate as a young man to go to school with Kevin Barnes and John Fluck, may he rest in peace, my good friend John Fluck, who sadly we lost.
Right. He was just a high school kid when
I
knew
him. He was just a high school kid, man, and so was I.
But even back then, he knew his music.
He did. He really did. And, you know, Kevin's mother, Olivia, and his uncle Bud owned the station. So we were really very, very... we were very, very fortunate to be able to have that kind of experience where we could walk over to the radio station and hang out and see you guys working behind the microphone. And everything was vinyl back then. Vinyl and carts. Vinyl and carts. You know, you guys actually had to work, you know, when you produced a radio show because you were queuing up every single track on vinyl and spinning from two turntables and playing carts. It was old school radio.
It was indeed.
It was, but yet for an AM radio station, 790 AM WAAEB, which now is a news talk radio format with Bobby Gunther Walsh, and they're doing great, but AM 790 WAAEB was an AM gold. They were playing the hits back then. And here's WSAN at 1470 on the AM dial playing Frank Zappa, you know, and AC/DC when they first broke, you know. And you guys were way ahead of your time. And there are so many of us still in the Lehigh Valley that remember that special period. And to see you here today, I wanted to tell you personally to your face what kind of an influence you as a DJ had on me as an individual, and the amount of joy and the education in music that you left us with in the Lehigh Valley. You made a huge contribution, Andy, to the listening audience, and you taught all of us. You're one of the guys who taught all of us to be eclectic, educated listeners. And I think the Lehigh Valley is known in the industry and around this country, and the old days when labels were still pressing and coming out with a rep and giving you that vinyl, they knew, cut it in the Lehigh Valley because those people know good music.
Thank you, AJ. You're very kind.
Yeah, it's true.
And due to the wonders of technology being EE out of Lehigh myself. I love sitting at home in Portland, Oregon, and being able to just listen to LVR on my computer and see that someone picked up the torch.
That's what I tried to do. I tried to pick up the torch and carry that huge torch and lift it high on the mantle of what WSAN and guys like you and Dave and Bob and Harvey, you know, gave us all those years ago. And do you feel we've gotten there? Do you feel that we're doing good things here?
I really do. Really do. It's very difficult. The amount of music out there today, because it's easier for musicians to get started on their own craft.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, you had to have a record contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you can put your music onto media and go out there and represent yourself.
Sure.
Without having to deal with all the red tape
and
record companies and things like that. Now, if you're lucky enough to be successful, you'll eventually have to deal with that stuff.
Sure.
But the idea is there's just a lot more out there, and it needs the outlet that you provide.
Yeah.
Because no one else is giving them that kind of shot.
That's true. And, you know, the industry has changed so much that, like you said, you know, any artist can make a record in their basement if they have the right tools. And the music industry has changed so much. It's just not the same anymore. In your days, you know, you guys were in the glory days of rock. You really were. I mean, when you look at what was coming out at that period, I mean, just look at the Roxy concert series. Tell them about Billy Joel. Tell them about Billy Joel's night at the Roxy.
Billy Joel came in, and we had been playing his album, so you people out there in the Lehigh Valley audience knew who Billy Joel was, but that was not the case around most of the country.
Yeah.
And his first album had been poorly mastered. It went nowhere. And he had finally gotten enough gumption to do another album and got talked into, you know, you need to go out and tour with this.
Yeah.
And somehow, it wasn't me. One of the other guys at SAN found that he had access to you know, whoever was booking Billy, and they brought him up to the Roxy, and he did two shows in one night. The tickets were $2. I have a copy of My Lives, the Billy Joel box set, and in there, there's all these pictures, and it shows a Billy Joel ticket for $3, and I got angry. I said, we had him for $2. We had him for two. Why didn't he put one of the Roxy tickets in there?
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
But if you go to the Roxy, there is a poster of the show and a $2 ticket.
$2 ticket. It's still there.
You can verify what I'm telling you. You know. Yeah. And Billy Joel came in. Henry Gross was the opening act. The lights, the sound guy, the renting the theater. Our budget was $1,000, so you guys do the math, you
know?
Wow. Two acts, two shows each. That was great. I was at a Tom Rush concert out in Portland. Tom's from New England, but every once in a while he'll do a swing on the West Coast, and he's very friendly, you know, before the show, in the break and after the show, he mingles with the audience. He wants, you know, to hear from people, you know, that are coming to see him in concert. And I told him, I said, you know, I first saw you in 1974 at a little theater in Northampton, Pennsylvania, and the tickets were $2. And he broke out in a big laugh. He goes, oh my gosh, you are an old fan. Yeah.
It was a really a special time, and We're so fortunate here that Lehigh University supports this radio station. They've been supporting us for years. Without the lifeblood of the students, the station wouldn't be here. And we've come together as a staff, not only with our students, but our students and our community staff are one. And Rick, you can testify to that. You've seen the growth of how our students and our community staff, we're all one radio station now. And it took us quite a few years to get to that point where the students didn't resent the community staff at all, and they've now embraced us, and they know that, hey, we may be the old cats with the gray hair and the beards, man, but we know how to do this, and they can learn from us, and we're all working together as one team to make a great radio station. And keeping this activity alive here at Lehigh University is so important.
Very much so. I totally agree.
It really is. A lot of our students never, ever thought about what they were going to get out of this besides just having some fun and playing music, but what it's teaching them is great communication skills, and it's giving them a huge amount of confidence within in themselves that they can now go out. They'll never be afraid to speak publicly in a room at any time, and they're getting much more out of it than they thought that they would.
That's very true. The ability to hold your own in a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I first got interested in radio when I was at Lehigh, I had some elective points, you know, credits that I could take. And so I took a couple of speech courses because I said, if I'm going to get behind the microphone and talk,
yeah,
I want to be understood.
Sure, sure.
You know, I need to know how to do this correctly.
And, yeah.
You know, those two courses were very helpful.
Wow. Where'd you take the courses at?
Here at Lehigh.
They had them here.
Yeah, in the speech department.
In the speech department.
I was an engineer, but I had some wiggle room, you know, with electives.
Well, I've got to find out if it's still here, if it's part of the curriculum, because what I would love to do is bring curriculum back to the radio station in some form, whether it's through speech or through journalism, to keep the university tied closer to their radio station. They do love what we do. Lehigh is more impressed with seeing the prizes, you know, or the awards on the wall. To them, they look at that and say, the students are doing a good job, the community is doing a good job, the radio station is active, and it's a vital part of the community. And that's what we tried to do. We tried to bring something different to the community, but also remind them of what great radio has gone down in the Lehigh Valley, and hopefully we can just tickle those brain cells a little bit and remind them of what was started here in the great Lehigh Valley when it comes to music.
For me, radio was the intersection of my interest in electricity and electronics.
Mm-hmm.
and music,
yeah,
and that's very magnetic. I mean,
it
drew me in. And once radio's in your blood, you can't get rid of it.
No, you can't.
I worked in TV, and let me tell you, TV's not radio.
No, it's not.
You know, I was just an engineer in TV, but I got to meet a lot of people and hear a lot of information, and it's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, TV is more like putting the stage.
Yeah.
Electronic stage.
Stage,
yeah.
Right. Here, you can only be for real. You're behind a microphone, a board, and you're playing music. You got to be yourself. You have to give the best of yourself, and keep that smile. You know, keep that smile. Keep them from turning that dial. But George Carlin said, if you don't like what you're hearing, remember, Reverend, there are two knobs on the radio. One to switch the station, and one to turn it off.
Indeed.
91.3 FM WLVR Bethlehem. You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Fritz Rock Show. And we've got Lehigh University alum Andy Brown here. He used to be on the air here at WLVR many years ago, and you might remember him from WSAN from many years ago, back in 1973 you started, right?
Yes.
73 to like 76.
Uh-huh.
Great years for you to be involved with WSAN, because that was the Roxy Concert Series days, man.
It was. And you know, that was icing on the cake.
I bet.
Icing on the cake. I didn't go into radio with that in mind.
Right.
And when it all kind of came down, it was just fantastic.
Well, you know what? I've got to get ready for the Carmine set, and I did not expect to see you today, and I'm glad that you did come in, and I'm glad that I got to at least put you on the microphone a little bit so that you could talk to the Lehigh Valley and let them know, okay, what a what a blessing it is to have this here in the Lehigh Valley, and to have this great institution of Lehigh University still supporting this radio station, Andy. Must be very, very heartwarming for you to see where we're at and what we're doing.
It is. It is, very much so. And I enjoy listening. I live out in Portland, Oregon, and I enjoy listening to the station.
Fantastic. Really, fantastic. Well, you know what? How about, I've got to do a Carmine Apiece set. You remember Cactus, right?
Uh-huh.
Would you like to pick a Cactus tune? Or would you like to pick a Vanilla Fudge tune or something that maybe you could front sell to the listeners at WLVR?
I think I can come up with something.
Okay, all right. So who would you like me to pull up here? Cactus or Vanilla Fudge?
Bring up the Vanilla Fudge.
All right, we'll bring up some Vanilla Fudge. And we got the box of fudge in here, too.
And why don't you pick out You Keep Me Hanging On, an old Motown song.
Oh, yeah. How about what they did? I mean, that was just huge in 1967 or 68. I think it was 68. I want to say 68, but I could be wrong. Do you remember if it was 67 or 68?
No,
I think it was 68.
Some of the brain cells that, you know, at my age, some of them just aren't there anymore.
Oh, believe me, brother, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have the original version, so go ahead, tell the listener exactly. Front sell it just like you would if you were at WSAN or WLVR.
The Vanilla Fudge and I go way back before Lehigh, when I was at Paramus High School in Paramus, New Jersey, and my first sound system in my first car was an 8-track player. Some of you probably don't even know what that is. And one of my first cartridges was Vanilla Fudge.
So from the box of fudge, we're going to throw this classic. Andy, what's the name of this classic?
You know, just this? Keep Me Hanging On.
91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem. Thank you.
can be.